But Psalm 119 this morning, which obviously, as many of us know, we all know that is the longest, if I can put it this way, chapter that's the in the Word of God. It is as all the other Psalms are. It is a song. It is a very hefty songbook, if you will. That chapter right there. I believe there's 22 divisions. I believe that's what it is. I didn't count it beforehand, but I believe there's 22 divisions. In each one of those divisions, there are 8 verses. So I guess if we do the math right, let's just go to the end. There's 156. But I was like, no, that doesn't seem right. Because 22 times 8, I don't think gets us quite there. It goes a little higher than that. But 176 verses. And I'm sure that we heard it before. We've heard it preached. We've heard it taught before. But virtually every verse in Psalm 119 makes a reference to the Word of God. And it may not necessarily say the Word of God or thy word. Obviously, we do see that in Scripture and throughout the Psalm here. But there are also other words that reference the Word of God. And I'll just mention a few of those here in just a moment. But before we do, I would like for us to read our text this morning. And that is in Psalm 119, verse 129. So we're going to read those 8 verses there from 129 to verse 136 as our text this morning. And then we're going to get into, I'm just going to mention a few things about this chapter, about this psalm, and about what it contains, what it can do or what it can be, what it does for us, and what it ought to be desired as in our lives. I mentioned a few things there. But I do want to want us to take notice this morning, by way of introduction, I'll just let you know, there are 4 definitive statements that I put here, 4 definitive statements about what God's Word is. And we're going to look at those 4 definitive statements, and what I mean by that, where it says, thy Word is. Okay, I realize we can go through this entire psalm and see the testimonies and what the testimonies are, the mercies, the commandments, precepts. We can see those different items and references here in this psalm. But there are, I'm sure there's more definitive statements, obviously, about the Word of God in Psalm 119. But there are 4 that the Lord has impressed upon me to share with us this morning. We'll look at those here in just a little bit. But let's go ahead and read our text, Psalm 119, starting with verse 129. The Word of God says, the psalmist here writes, thy testimonies are wonderful. We just stop there. Just reminded his testimonies, God's, his absolutes, if you will. Everything about God is wonderful. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Excuse me. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Our title today for this message is simply 3 words, thy word is. As I mentioned already, there are some definitive statements that we're going to look at this morning, where it says thy word is, fill in the blank that follows. All right, so we're going to look at a few of those verses here this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise your name for this time to be able to open up your word. We thank you for the ability to be able to do so. We thank you for the ability to be able to meet, be able to build, to worship you. And now, Lord, I ask and pray that as you have given us the ability to hear, that we would hear your voice. And Lord, I recognize that it may not necessarily be an audible voice. Yes, you're using this vessel to speak and to preach and teach to your people here this morning. But Lord, may they hear your voice, and not this vessel's voice, but your voice through the preaching and the teaching of your word. Holy Spirit of God, would you lead us and remind us of truths, Lord, that are going to be covered today, and promises and just wonderful things that we find in your word. Holy Spirit of God, would you remind us of those things and help us with our focus this morning, that it would be right where it needs to be, set and stayed upon your word. Lord God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for these next few moments that you're giving to us. I pray that you'd be pleased with it. I ask these things in your name. Amen. So I had mentioned, good night, the one day I forget the water bottles at home. But I had mentioned just prior at the beginning of the message here that there are other names that reference the Word of God. And we can see those all throughout Psalm 119. Words such as testimonies, or there's commandments, precepts, statutes, law, word. And those actually references were mentioned in these eight verses that we read this morning. One that wasn't mentioned that we do see in Psalm 119 would be that of the word judgments. All right, but those are different names or references, if you will, to the Word of God. Testimonies, we think of to testify or to witness, and it carries with it the idea that God is the source of absolutes. He is the absolute of all absolutes, if you will. All right, there are commandments, mandates, charges, anything that God has commanded. Precepts. Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. precepts. These refer to a charge, refers to anything that God has ordered. Statutes. Those carry the idea of something that's prescribed and shows God as our guide. The law. Instruction flowing from divine revelation. The law of the Lord is perfect, right? And then there's the word, and then there's the reference word, as we'll see this morning. And that's anything that proceeds, think about this, anything that proceeds from the mouth of God. Divine revelation that is verbal, not conceptual, but verbal, that we can see here in Scripture. Then the other word that I mentioned that references the Word of God is that of judgments, which carries the idea of legal decisions, and it shows God as the supreme judge. But we see those different references to the Word of God. The Word of God, and God's Word, it contains, and I'm just mentioning from passages from this chapter, this passage of Scripture, this psalm here, Psalm 119, here's what the Word of God contains. And we find here in this chapter, it contains righteous judgments. Psalm 119, verse 7. The psalmist says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Our God is a righteous God. Verse number 62, the psalmist says this. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Because of what you have set forth, Lord God, I'm going to rejoice and give you thanks. God's righteous judgments, they endure forever. Psalm 119, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So God's word contains righteous judgments. It contains reminders that God is merciful. Verse 58 of Psalm 119. The psalmist says, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. And then verse 132, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. It reminds that God is faithful. It gives accounts of God's goodness. The psalmist said in verse number 65 that thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. It contains accounts of God's goodness, reminds us of that. It's sweet words. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. His words are sweet. God's word is sweet, contains sweet words, and words of that give and grant understanding. Verse 170, let my supplication come before me. Let me see here. Deliver me according to thy word. Not the verse I was looking for. I think I meant, verse 169. Let's back up one verse. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. We need understanding. We need wisdom. We need to know God's heart on a matter? Hey, we can go right here to His Word. But it contains righteous judgments, mercy, His goodness, sweet words, understanding. What God's Word can be, it can be trusted and hoped in. Verse 119, verse 42. I know I'm kind of going through these fast and doesn't give you a lot opportunity to write down much, but it says, verse 42, "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." Verse 46, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." It can and ought to be loved and it ought to be trusted. Verse 114, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." So it can be trusted and hoped in. It brings comfort in times of comfort through the fact that God's word quickens. That's verse number 50. It brings revival. Verse 25, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." Quicken. That's that word make. That's the thought there. Make alive or to revive. Quicken thou me according to thy word. It brings rejoicing. In verse 162, the psalmist says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." And boy, the word of God, what a treasure it is. I believe it's in Proverbs 2 where Solomon writes that the word of God is as hid treasure. Treasure, when you think of, and then when you think of spoil, when somebody, when armies would go out to battle, and the spoils of war, when they conquer, what they bring, what they gain from that victory, the spoil, the treasure. Well, the psalmist says here, "I rejoice at that world at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." But God's word brings revival, it brings rejoicing, but it also brings some respite. It brings deliverance. Verse 170, "Let my supplication come before thee, deliver me according to thy word." Man, God's word is amazing. It contains many wonderful things, wonderful truths. It can be trusted. It brings rejoicing and respite, but it also keeps one clean. It keeps us clean. I'm sure you thought we were getting to get to this verse eventually. Psalm 119, verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." It keeps one clean. I wrote down just a reference here. If you want to look at it, you can write this down, look at it later. And I call the word of God, the perfect law of liberty, I call it our perfect mirror. That's James chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. God's word, we ought to abide in it and keep it every day. The psalmist says in verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." So he went astray. There is affliction that comes. But then he says, "But now," after realizing what he should be doing, "but now have I kept thy word." So there's that obedience there. We ought to abide in the word of God and keep it every day. And finally, before we get into these statements, the word of God ought to be desired as a permanent fixture in our lives. So every day, getting in the word of God and reading it, and even if it's just a moment, in God's word. I recognize that time, there are time restraints and time constraints and things in life that move us to not be able to have as much time as we like in the word of God. But even if it's just a passage of scripture that the Lord brings to your mind that encourages you, that could be some advocation for somebody else, encourage it to make God's word a permanent fixture. I believe I'm speaking to the choir. I'm preaching to the choir here. But it still ought to be a permanent fixture. The psalmist says in verse 38, "Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear." But it ought to be desired as a permanent fixture in our lives. We ought to spend time. We ought to be devoted to the word of God. So I mentioned several things, right? Just by way, that was just our introduction. We'll get through these statements here fairly quickly here with the Lord's help. But I told you there are four statements, definitive statements about what the Word of God is. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, we're going to go in order and how they appear in Scripture. I know I was all over the place with the Scriptures here, but we're going to start at verse number 89. The first of those definitive statements about what God's Word is, thy word forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word is forever. And the wonderful thing about our God is he is immutable. Therefore, his word is immutable. It's unchanging. His word, he is perfect. Therefore, his word is perfect. Everything he does is perfect. Let me get over here to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 14. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14. Solomon here, through the inspiration of the Lord, wrote, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. And since it was God who gave us his word, it would stand to reason that he will cause it to last forever. I think of that, when we think of something that's being settled in heaven, that lasts forever. I think of in my mind, I think of just something that is preserved, that is kept on safeguard, if you will. Really, in our scripture here, God gives us an illustration of the fact that his word is settled in heaven. In the fact, in the following verses, verse 89, God established the earth. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Think about that for a moment. That last statement. Creation, every bit, every part of it, are servants to God. I was reading a book, a commentary from a pastor friend of mine, who put it this, who reminds the readers of Jonah. All right, Jonah, obviously servant of God, man of God, called to Nineveh. But realize the whale was also, or that big fish was also God's servant. God prepared that big fish. God, you know, it's also nature is God's servant. There was a wind, there was a storm that God brought in Jonah's way. All of creation is his servant. Just a side note there. But God established the earth. Think about this. He brought into existence the laws of light and electricity, heat and sound, magnetism and gravity, chemistry and physics, biology and mathematics. And these laws continue unchanged. God's word is settled in heaven and settled on earth. And praise God, it can settle our souls. God's word gives us something permanent and unchanging to rest our hope upon. You see, his plan to preserve his word is without fail perfect. Even when evil men seek to destroy it, a.k.a. Jehoiakim in the book of Jeremiah, he took out the penknife and he cut up the scriptures and then he threw it into the word and then he threw it into the fire. Well, you think that was going to stop God and his word? Nope, Jeremiah, you're going to write it again and then there's going to be even more words. So there's your God breathed right there. We'll go back to that. But even when evil men seek to destroy it, God preserves it. Even when men seek to pervert it, it is still preserved. And his word is eternal. The Bible lives forever because its author is eternal. John 1, 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Mark 13, 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So, the word of God, thy word is settled in heaven. Number two, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 105. It guides my steps. It's a lamp that shows the next step. It grants clarity to the path ahead. It's a light on the path that shows the direction that we are headed. Many of us, if not all of us, may have done some form of camping or just being outdoors and in the woods where there's no lights except for the stars above you, and then the moon. And if the moon is out, and if you can see it through the thick trees, and when you can't, you know what helps? A flashlight or a lantern. I would say a torch, but we don't want to bring the forest down. But you get the idea. Some type of light is very helpful and beneficial to see where we're going. Now, a flashlight, does it light up the entire forest? Or does it just light up the pathway and the steps in front of us? Well, if it would light up the whole forest, it's called the sun. But our flashlight doesn't do that. Our flashlight really just shows us that next step ahead. Think about with our God and His Word. It's simple. Does He show us the big picture? Or does He just lead us that next step, day by day, moment by moment? The Word of God is that lamp to our feet. And that's that light showing us in what direction we ought to go. Verse number 130. I love this. We read it already. But let's just look at it again real quickly here. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Put this on the low shelf for all of us here, and for especially for me. Even a small child, a simple child, can be guided by God's word. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he shall not depart of it. Train up in this book, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now I realize, children, when they grow up, they're going to make a decision. I get it. But with the time we have with them, train them up, right? And those grandkids, amen? But even the Word of God can guide a small child. You see, that lantern, that torch, that flashlight will be a benefit even to the sharpening of one's senses to their surroundings. So what we ought to do, we ought to allow the light that is God's Word to shine before us and ask the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate its truths, guiding us each and every day. Thirdly, thy word is very pure. Verse 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. You can write these scriptures down. Psalm 19:8 and Proverbs 30, verse 5. The law of the, every word of God is pure. That's Proverbs 30, verse 5. I can't for the life of me remember how 19:8 goes, but you write that down, you can look at it. But a friend of mine put it this way regarding the word of God being pure. God's word is not pure because it's refined, but God's word is pure because God is the author. God is pure. He's perfect. God's word didn't need a refining process and a second and third draft. God's word didn't need an editor, as he says, like I do, the one who wrote this, because God did everything right the first time. So I like how he put that. The word of God is pure because the author is pure. Because it's pure, God's word is truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Because we know the author is perfect and pure, we can trust we are getting the truth and the absolute truth from God's word. Because God is true and cannot lie. Because God's word is pure and is truth, it's effective. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, ye heard of us. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So the word of God is effective in our lives because it's pure, because it's truth, and it's effective. God's word is to be studied and is a must share. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In all of this, take fast hold of the veracity, that's the truth, the truthfulness and purity of God's word, and be as the psalmist, thy servant loveth it. Thy word is settled in heaven, it is a lamp to my feet, it is very pure. Then lastly, it is true from the beginning. Verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Psalm 19, verse 9, I do need to get over there. Let's see here. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So his word, the fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord, another reference to God and his word, endures forever. Again, the word of God is eternal. God is eternal. His word is eternal. No one created God. He always has been. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelation 1:8 and Revelation 22:13. His word has been, currently is, and will continue to be true. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." His word is true from the beginning, and we ought to give honor, glory, and praise to the one most worthy, the eternal and wise God, whose word is forever true. So our response to the word of God is what? What do we do with God's word? How do we respond to it? Do we respond as the psalmist who loves God's word, who abides, who longs to abide in it, who in our text that we read says here, are we allowing the word of God to order our steps? Verse number 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Thy word, are we hiding it in our hearts that we would not sin against God? There's a verse, I'm like, oh, here it is, verse 31. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. When I think of panting, I think of a dog that's been outside running around, and then he wants water. He's gasping for air. He's longing for something to drink. No, don't go around. People already think we're crazy as Christians, but if we go around just looking like we're dogs panting for water, they might look at us even more crazy than we already are. But you get the idea. We ought to long for the word of God. Our response to God's word ought to be one in which we cherish it. It ought to be precious to us, just like it was to the psalmist. The Christian ought to delight in God's word. It ought to love and keep and obey God's word. Be thankful that it's immutable like its author. Be thankful it guides us through this life. Be thankful that it's pure and absolute truth. Be thankful it's eternally true. If God's word is not as precious to you as it should be, today can be the start of a new daily trend, if I can put it that way. How do we respond to the word of God? To those that would listen, I realize that we're going to put this online, but to those that would listen, if you have questions about the word of God and its truthfulness and God's faithfulness, obviously, they can contact the church. But folks here, if somebody has the truth of, well, is asking about God's word or why you believe God's word is God's word and why do you obey God's word, we ought to have an answer. Why? Because we love it. It's ours. He gave it to us so that we can share it with others. God's word settled forever in heaven. He's preserved it. He's kept it. He's given it to us. It's eternal. It's perfect. It's a lamp. It's the light that guides our way. It's very pure, just like its author, and it ought to be shared. And it's true from the very beginning because it's the word from the King Eternal, the only wise God. What are we doing with God's word? Heavenly Father, we thank and praise your name for this time we've had this morning. I do ask and pray that with what we have been, we've heard and we've been reminded of in your word, that it would, if it already is, Lord, that it would continue to be precious to us, that it would be continued, that we'd continue to cherish it, that we would relish in it, that we would delight in it, that we would pant for it, that we would long for it, and that when we dive into it and we open it up, that we would allow it to change us, converting the soul, making wise the simple, enlightening the eyes. Lord, may our desire be that you work in us and through us according to your word. And Lord, that we would be willing enough and we'd be obedient enough to share it with a lost and dying world. Lord, may our response with your word be what you want it to be. Go preach it and teach it to all. Lord, I thank and praise your name for this time we've had together. Lord, I ask that you dismiss us by your grace. Pray this in your name. Amen.